All right, so tonight we have with us, as I said, Brother Garth Mayer from, it's Tyler, Texas, right? East Texas Central Ecclesia. Sorry for not knowing that. And his class tonight is entitled Truth in Modern Society, and we'll turn it over to our Brother Garth now. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother, and good evening, dear young people. One of the things that was mentioned by our brother this evening is the fact that he had a lot of good questions last night. And that's something that the scriptures talk about, just so you know. I'm a parent of two daughters, and they're both relatively grown now. One is 20, just recently married. The other is 18, about to be 19 in September. And we were privileged enough to come to a knowledge of the truth, my wife and I, before we had children, and to raise them with an understanding. And it says, and we won't find it necessary to turn there right now, but even concerning the element of the Passover and the unleavened bread, and when the children of Israel took the stones, the 12 stones out of the River Jordan and placed them on the other side, the context in both of those occasions and others say that when your children rise up and they ask you what these things be, then you can explain to them, so on and so forth. We know that you're inquisitive, and you should be. The Bible supplies all the answers for everything. And I understand questions, and encourage questions, because we know that children are inquisitive, and they want resolute or sound answers to legitimate questions. You live in a very difficult age. So much so, it's even hard for someone of my age to understand. On this picture right here, everything on this side did not exist. There was no such thing when I was your age. No such thing when I was your age. Even when I was 20 years old, and I'm not ancient, I'm in my mid-40s, there was no such thing as Facebook, cell phones, internet, iPads. They didn't even exist. We didn't know what they were. They weren't even begun to be made at that time, which means the accessibility to all the exposure there. When I mean accessible, it means, for example, if you live way out in the country, there isn't a convenient store close by. You have to travel a long way to go to a store because you live way out in the country. Well, apply that same thing to the world as it stands related to you today. It's right there at your fingertips. And for most of us, it's sitting in our own office or our living room. By means of technology, it's brought it all to the forefront. Deuteronomy says this, and I'll read it for you. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Thou shalt love Yahweh thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Whether it's time of relaxation, you're sitting in the house, you're walking by the way, you're traveling, the principles of the truth were to be talked about in Israel. We've got all this interference now. In this period of time, they didn't have vehicles that were operated by an engine, let alone a radio that you could turn on and listen to. So that when they traveled, by donkey or by cart or whatever means they traveled, it was dead silent. The world outside didn't make noise with all of their forms of entertainment. And they could talk about the principles of the truth. Now, I don't go quite that far back, but in this day and age, we are deluged. It means, that word means we're overrun with the things of the world all about us. Turn your Bibles, if you have them, please, to the very last verse in the book of Judges. And one of the things that it says on the screen is that we are materially rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, but really, in a spiritual measure, we're very, very poor people. Now, I'll tell you some certain things that are facts absolute facts. The more that technology increases, the more morality sinks. Not just in this country, but all over the world. The more technology goes up, and the more exposure to the entertainment world, the more morality goes down. Decent, common things that we consider to be moral principles decline. It's always been that way in the world. Scientists will tell you the same thing. Even our ability to create and form ideas declines because we don't have to remember as much. When I was your age, young men, now I was raised in the world and I had a lot of buddies that were in the neighborhood. And I could run home and I knew every one of my friends' phone numbers off the top of my mind, just right off the top of my head. And I could dial them up and say, hey, you want to go play some basketball? I have a cell phone now. I'm not kidding you. I don't even know my home phone number. I don't have to remember it. It's programmed in, which my daughters had to program for me, into my own cell phone. Kid you not. My place of employment issued me, does everybody know what an Android is? It's a, like a fast, you can get the internet and all that. I can't even operate the thing. It's worthless to me. I still use the old cell phone that I had. It does too much for me. And really does more than I want it to do. It doesn't require good, consistent grammatical form in structuring a sentence. Anybody seen spell check? You have it on your texting. None of that existed. You can be sloppy in your own work, remembering how to spell words, remembering numbers. Scientists across the board will tell you that slows down our ability to think properly. We are doing damage to ourselves. We want the technology to do more things for us, and the more things it does for us, the less we are capable. Not just the less we do for ourselves, the less we are capable of doing things for ourselves. Our creativity declines 2% every year because of technology. This is what it says. The last verse, Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. Does anyone want to read that for us, please? Judges 21, verse 25. Gentlemen, back here.
In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
It says that four times in the book of the Judges. Thank you, young man. There was no king in Israel. It was after the period where Joshua had passed unto death, and the kingdom of God had not been set up. It's much like our day and age today. And because there was no king in Israel, it says it four times in the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It was a very, very difficult time. Here is the society you live in today. And if you don't understand these percentages, please raise your hand and I'll explain them to you. Because sometimes at your age, you don't understand percentages. I just got this. I'm in the news media. I just got this information a month ago. It was a new report. They run it every year out of probably the biggest polling company in the world, Gallup Poll. And this is what they said. It's called a social report. Now, this same company will run polls on Republicans and Democrats and voting trends and what people think about the price of gasoline, and what people will think about their home value. But once a year, they run a society poll, social standards. And what Gallup has found, every year, the social standards decline. They go down, and they get worse. So when we talk about the truth in society, this is what every one of us in this room are up against. In the country and environment that you and I both live in, 60%, if you have 10 people, like my 10 fingers right here, 6 out of the 10 people think that a physical relationship between people who are not married is quite acceptable to them. Marriage is no longer the standard for which that is reserved. 6 out of 10 people think that's quite fine. Completely condemned by Almighty God. Do you know what scientists and pollsters and psychologists tell us? You know what they have found the number one success for a marriage is? Does anybody know?
Divorce.
Divorce is a big problem, isn't it? Yeah. It's a huge problem in our country, above 60%. They have found, forget all the philosophy that you hear, the number one key to a successful marriage, chastity. Not being physically engaged before you're married. They have polled thousands of people and found, by far, the most successful marriages, marriages that someone is married once and it lasts until death, are between people that have preserved themselves physically only for the person they love and they plan on marrying. It's not they have a common idea, they wait a little bit later in life, they marry earlier. Sometimes the woman has this much education, the man has that much. That is not it. It is what the Bible says. They have concluded through all of their research and all of their philosophies what the Bible said is absolutely true. 6 out of 10 people in the environment we live, they forget about what God says. It's completely acceptable to us. Gambling, same thing. Divorce, you just mentioned it. 70%. 7 out of 10 people in this country say absolutely, if the marriage isn't working, divorce. Is that what God says? And you can see it, can't you? You can see it in their conduct. That's what's pressed upon you every day. Accept their way of life. This is what they find acceptable. I don't care what God says, and you should accept it. 55%. 10 people, more than half of them, think that it is quite acceptable to have a gay or lesbian relationship. When I was your age, it was illegal in this country to have that relationship. They called it sodomy, and they would arrest people for it. When I was your age, it was illegal. Now, more than half of the people in this country believe it's completely acceptable. What has it led to? 40% of all children that are born in this country, 10 babies born, 4 of those babies out of the 10 are born to mothers who are not even married. You want to hear something amazing? The highest growing percentage, the highest number of people, women over the age of 30. They don't need a husband anymore. Most marriages don't work anyway. They don't even need a husband. The lowest percentage that is declining, teenage pregnancies. Adults like me, they don't want a marriage anymore. They don't need it anymore. Most of them end in divorce anyway. And nobody in this society cares. There's no stigma attached to it. Nobody looks down on you if you do that. So why do we even need a husband? All I want is the baby. For the first time, there's a reason I put a woman's face here. For the first time, American women have passed men in gaining advanced college degrees as well as bachelor's degrees. Women today hold more college bachelor's degrees than men. It's a fact. In today's society, more women hold advanced college degrees, master's, doctorates, than men. Our society is upside down. When the majority of people should be saying that a physical relationship outside of marriage is wrong, that homosexuality is wrong, that divorce is wrong, that babies out of wedlock, that's not the case anymore. That's not the society you live in. The society that you and I live in is a society where the majority of people think what God says is wrong. And they're not inclined in the slightest to endorse God's ideas. That's what we live in. The Bible is about a fundamental principle. We talk a lot about doctrine, especially amongst one another when we're a bit older. But we read this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Matter of fact, do we want to read from the outside? Some of our young men. Let's start here. Can we start here in front and work around? Can we start with you, young man? Read this first one, if you would, in 2 Peter chapter 1.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness.
Now stop there for a minute. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has given us all things that pertain to life eternal and godliness, how to live a proper godly life? Do you believe that? He's given us all things in His Word to equip us to fulfilling that end. Do you believe that? I do. I believe the Bible will fully make us wise for salvation. Okay? Keep reading if you would.
Knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and
virtue. Now stop there again. I'm going to add this. In the society that you live in this country, we are considered, does everyone agree with this? A Christian country. A lot of people go to church. I'm going to give you another fact. Do you know that Christians are the most ignorant of their book of faith of all the religions of the world? The Muslims know more about their Quran than Christians do about the Bible. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and to virtue, it's a character of holiness. So the society that you live in not only endorses all those things we had on the screen before, they claim to be Christian at the same time, being completely ignorant of the book they say that they embrace. Keep reading if you would, please. No, wait, stop. No, it was just a trick, a test. Go ahead.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. He's given us all things that pertain to godliness for the end purpose of glory and virtue, so that we can escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. Do you believe there's corruption in the world? What are some forms that are corruption in the world?
Technology.
Anyone else? What is corruption? Corruption is a decaying of a principle. When people, animals, go into the grave, they corrupt, they decompose. It's a decaying or decomposing of a principle. The Bible says that this world is decaying and its principles are decaying. Anything else you can think of? Okay. No. Young man?
Divorcing.
There's another principle. Marriage. It's being eroded. Almost 60% of people in this society will divorce. 6 out of 10. Their marriages will end. And that means a lot to you young people. Because the only strength and confidence and hope that you have is that things are preserved inside your own household. Forget about the world outside. That is your refuge, what's in your household. Young lady.
Fornication.
I'm sorry?
Fornication.
It's accepted everywhere. Things that you may see on the internet, television, were illegal when I was your age. I sound really old, don't I? It was illegal to say the sort of things that they say today. Just in the past year, you know what a cuss word is? I won't say one. A swear word? A bad word? Just in the past year, network television, it's increased 5 times. If there were 20 bad words that they used on network television a year ago, there are 100 this year. Men keep pushing things stronger and stronger and stronger towards ungodliness. That's why it's more important than ever in this time when every man does that which is right in his own eyes, and we teach and talk about the principles of God when we lie down, sit in the house, and walk by the way. It's very, very important that we do those things. We are overcoming a society that is a very difficult society, filled with corrupting things. Yes, ma'am.
Politics.
Another corrupting influence. Because what's happening in society today is politicians and lawmakers are saying certain things are legal, like gay marriage, that used to be illegal. It's a bad, bad society. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Can you read that for us, this bottom quote, please? Thank you. You have an accent. You must be from North Texas.
Australia.
It's close. Very. The acknowledging of the truth after godliness. Listen to what that says. We want to acknowledge the truth. We believe certain things. No doubt about it. He's given us all things that pertain to godliness. But what we know has got to make it to our lifestyle. It's got to be understanding the truth, which includes godliness. It's not okay just to know the truth and not live it. It's of no value. Because how are we going to escape the corruption that is in this world through lust if we're a part of it? And what the previous screen meant to all of us was this. Because I was telling you as before, everything on this side of the picture didn't even exist when I was a young man your age. It means you have to be more disciplined. There was no internet. When mom and dad weren't home, I could get on the internet and click and look up whatever I wanted. No such thing. Didn't exist. I couldn't text anybody some naughty little message. There was no such thing as a cell phone. We only had the thing on the wall, and there was typically one, maybe two in a home. And you couldn't call people long distance. It cost money back then. Anytime you dialed my friend here that lived in Australia, northern Texas, it cost a lot of money to do that. There's basically no limit to long distance now. There weren't iPads, certainly wireless devices that you could carry anywhere with you, into any form, into any closet, to any corner, and still pull up the internet or your email or anything else. They didn't exist. You know, this started coming along when we were raising our daughters. And my daughters were forced by their mother, mean lady. They weren't allowed to send email birthdays to grandma and grandpa or whoever it happened to be. They were required to get a card from the five and dime store or whatever it is, the pharmacy or whatever store was selling it, and write it out and send it in the mail to them. That's a thing that's passing away. Personalized communication. Personalizing. That's what we're dealing with in our society today. Separation from the world. This is a very, very clear Bible principle. We're going to get into this section now to help fortify you in the time in which you live. There is really no difficulty understanding. Would you read this for us? Psalm 106, please. Yeah, I'm sorry, please. That's good enough, because it just is a repetition of what comes after that. Thank you. They serve their idols. What they did, instead of Israel being a separate people, as they were commanded to do, they mingled among the world. And they learned the world's works. Instead of influencing the world with the truth, they were influenced by the world, and they served their idols. Idol is a term that's used today in modern language. The most popular show on television is called what? Anybody know it? What is it called? American Idol. It's literally called that. I've never seen it. Looks rather dopey to me. But that's what it's called. Even the world knows the transforming of the phrase idol. They call people that are popular in Hollywood idols, icons. That's what they call them. And they mingled among the world, and they learned their works, and they started serving the same things that the world's doing it. Maybe it's okay for the Christadelphian to do that. Is that true? Anything the world does, it's okay for us to do. It isn't. It isn't okay for us to do. We're to be a separate people. Because what has happened to the rest of the world? You just saw the chart. And the majority of people in the world are telling us that immorality is okay. And it's not okay. Paul says that covetousness is idolatry. It says in the days of Ezra, the land into which you go to possess is unclean with filthiness. How? By what means is that land filthy? It's filthy because of the people with their abominations, and they filled it from one end to the other with their uncleanness. The environment in which you live today is a very corrupt environment. It's worse than even I was a kid. Divorce was not as high. Children out of wedlock was not as high. Homosexuality was not as high. All the drug abuse was not as high. The crime, everything has gotten worse because the further and longer there is no king in Israel, every man will do that which is right in his own eyes. The world is very clear. We can't walk as other people in the world walk. And this is why. Because their understanding is darkened. They don't understand the same thing. All that they're fighting for and all that they're looking to accomplish in this life, you know what they're all that they're looking for to accomplish in this life? This life. Just digest that. All that they're looking to accomplish in this life is this life. So it doesn't matter. If you're tired of a spouse, get rid of them. It doesn't make any difference. All you're trying to get out of this life is this life, not eternal life. Not escaping the corruption that is in this world through lust, that we would be partakers of the divine nature and inherit the kingdom of God. All that they want out of this life is this life. Well, how is that working for them? Not very well, morally, is it? It's been catastrophe. What does this mean? Who's our next reader? Young man, would you read this for us? And 1 John 2. You're a bit of an angle there, but if you can get it.
Okay. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abideth forever.
Thank you very much. Well read. Do you know what those verses mean? Anyone? I'm going to tell you what those verses mean. Now write this down. Exactly what they say. That's what they mean. Does anybody not understand? Love not the world, neither the things in the world. Because all that is in the world is not of God. It's the product of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of the life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Is there anybody, and I'm serious, raise your hand, is there anybody in this room that does not understand the English of that language? Is that hard to understand? I'm not saying it's not difficult to implement or practice in our life. Do you not understand what that's saying? We do understand, don't we? We understand quite clearly. James chapter 4, verse 4. Young man, would you read that for us, please?
Ye adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
What does that verse say? I'm going to tell you again. Write this down. Exactly what it's saying. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. If any man be a friend of the world, what does it say? There's a problem. Because the world is no friend with God. You ever have two friends that don't like each other, but they're both your friends, but they don't get on with each other? That's the world and God. And I'll tell you, and I'm being square honest, you can ask my wife. I've been baptized 23 years. I have never had a friend in the world. I do not have friends in the world that I go fishing with or hunting with, that I come over and invite to my house. The only people that I associate with on a recreational basis or a basis of the truth are strictly brothers and sisters in Christ. Is that not true? I have never, ever had a friend in the world. That ended when I was baptized. I do not have friends in the world. I have people that I work with, and I associate with them, and I have people that I work with that have said, hey, listen, why don't we go do whatever together? And you know why I don't do it? Does anybody know why I don't do it? Beautifully said. Well said. So if I'm their friend, is it because they want to be influenced by the truth, or do they want to influence me? If they want friendship with me, then they should come to Bible study, right? Now, I've had some people that I've worked with that have come over for Bible study and things like that, and I'm happy to get along with them. When we are friends with the world, what happens? They influence us. We don't influence them. Let's move on here. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? You can't put God in the same principle of worship as the gods or the idols of the world. You can't do it. You can't join them together. And so the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, and you will be my sons and daughters. Says it right here, and I can assure you I didn't write this. The Bible demands separation from the world. And because it's very hard to do, we don't talk about it much anymore. It requires separation. Probably your only friends, but definitely your closest friends need to be other young people that are being raised and embracing the truth. Or maybe even someone you associate with at school that is happy to come along to Bible studies. Let it be on your terms. Demand it's on your terms. Because your terms are this simple. They're God's terms. You didn't set the standards. He did. Christadelphian standards. Is the Bible silent on how we should dress? The Bible has nothing to say about how we should dress. That's dishonest. It most assuredly tells us about how we should dress. You know, there's a saying in the world, especially with girls, if you got it, flaunt it. Really? That's modesty? Shamefacedness? Are we all caught up in the costly array and the pearls and the broided hair and the gold and the jewelry? Is that where we're all caught up with? Young men, what about the fads that come in with the long hair? Got to grow the hair a little bit longer because the world likes it. I don't have that problem anymore. Trying to keep the stuff that I got now. That, by the way, was a big problem when I was your age. 70s into the 80s. A lot of the men grew their hair out real long, even putting it in ponytails. It's against nature, says the Bible. That's for the glory of the woman. And even men want to steal that now. Men want to put the earring in their ear that the women have. You think about it. It's effeminacy. Men now want the things that the women have. There's a complete confusion of genders now. What a boy is supposed to be and what a girl is supposed to be and what a man is supposed to be and what a woman is supposed to be. That's why homosexuality doesn't matter. Marriage doesn't matter. Having children out of wedlock doesn't matter. The foundations for the family and the principles of the truth are being eroded at every turn. Alcohol, does the Bible have something to say about that? It most assuredly does. What about fornication? We've already talked about that. Inappropriate jokes. You know what an inappropriate joke is. A joke with a little bit of an edge, a little bit of naughtiness to it. Most jokes are that way. That, by the way, is how comedy gets away with it on television. We don't have TV in my house. My girls didn't grow up with it. That's how they get away with most of their naughtiness. All their jokes about fornication and sexual things, they make a joke out of it. Because if they were to say it seriously, they'd be thrown out. So they hide it and couch it in the form of a joke. It's called jesting in the Bible. It's a joke with a suggestive meaning. Ha ha ha, and you can laugh at it, therefore it's not offensive. Is that appropriate? If someone passes it on to you? What about bad language? Swear words, cuss words, filthy communication out of your mouth. Is the Bible silent about that? Most assuredly, it's not. Obeying your parents? You know what it's like. Sometimes you don't want to obey your parents. Am I right? It's honest. Sometimes you don't, do you? You develop a respect, and with time and age, and you realize they're looking out for your best interest. Because you're young, and you don't understand, on the other side of the cliff there is nothing, and you'll fall off. I'm using a metaphor. They're concerned about your well-being. My daughters now, a little bit older, have more of a respect for the way they were raised. Because they understood why we did it. Lusting riches. We want all the things of this world. The fanciest homes, the fastest cars. Boys, you want a nice car? Bunch of liars. You want a fast car? Yeah, so did I. Real nice one, right? Leading cause of teenage death. Far and away the leading cause of teenage death. Nothing can even compare to it. You know why? You're not capable of handling it. The flesh has got to be disciplined. Young man? No. It is driving. That's what something you'll hear in the news media now. And also sometimes alcohol is associated with it. Drinking alcohol and being a teen. The leading cause is traffic accidents. Sometimes alcohol is associated with it. Sometimes, as you said, texting is associated with it too. What do we think about going to the movie theater? This is a man that lived in the 1800s, Robert Roberts. Anybody hear of Robert Roberts in this room? This is what Robert Roberts had to say. He was asked this question. He was the editor of the Christadelphian. Here in the blue, is it wrong to go to theater? And here's how he answered. To those who live in a spiritual atmosphere, it must seem impossible for servants of God to put such a question. The scriptural representation of the present position of servants of God is that they are pilgrims walking through a desert of sin to a land of holiness and worship beyond. To come out from among them, to be separate, if there is an institution upon earth that has all the characteristics prescribed in these injunctions, it is the theater. To be convinced of this, one has only to consider the character of the people most prone to going to the theater, and the character of the feelings that are excited by a theatrical performance. In the theater, you are in the company of the vilest of mankind. And at the close of the performance, God and Christ and duty in the future have been driven off, far off. The Bible and the theater do not run together at all. They that are after the Spirit are shocked and jarred and degraded by contact with an institution which violates every principle of divine wisdom. Written over 100 years ago. Do you think theaters changed since then? There was no Hollywood in motion picture. You literally went to a theater to watch an open performance, a live performance. Are we shocked and jarred and degraded by the vilest forms of today's theater? The Christadelphian in the 1800s said it's amazing that a Christadelphian would even ask a question. Is it okay to go to theaters? Back home where we live in our home state, it is commonplace after Sunday Memorial for our young people to get together, not in our ecclesia, it's a small one, and all go to the theater after Sunday Memorial. Eat lunch, go have lunch someplace, and they all go to the theater. Been doing it for years. What about the internet? I have no idea how much time I've got, but I'm talking for the next 4 hours.
How about 10 minutes?
10 minutes. What about the internet? Every form of entertainment that you want today. What about the cell phones? Immediate and instant communication. Social websites. Personal information about oneself. Email. Transportation that has never been seen in generations before you. What about social websites? We read it today in our reading. When we all got together to do the readings, you don't let your alms known before men. Now, I don't have a Facebook page, but I've seen them. You know what they are all about? Generally speaking, bragging about how great you are. Now, is anybody really going to deny that? Isn't that really the crux of what Facebook is all about? About bragging about how wonderful, giving people an impression, a depiction of your life that puts forth the best side of you. Is the truth about the abasement of flesh and the humility of flesh? Or is it about the puffing up of flesh? Which one is it? Created by a person who stole it and his partner is a homosexual. And now available on your Facebook page is the option to say you are in a civil union. Do you notice that? You can now say that you're in a homosexual relationship on Facebook. Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. It's all about fishing for compliments. It's all about trying to get a response from people. Well, I'm just making that up. No, it isn't. The inventors of Facebook established it for that very reason. I'm not making that up. And it was established for another reason. Gossip. You know what gossip is? Gossip is spreading information about people. Does the Bible say anything about that? Millions, 600 million people have Facebook. Anybody in this room have Facebook? Because everybody does, don't they? Does it ever irritate you? Be honest. Does it ever irritate you? Frustrate you? Make you upset at some of the things that are on there? Someone's putting a side of themselves that is not honest, not accurate, giving little suggested language that's meant to inflame comments, or it's a reference about somebody else. Happens all the time. Is that what the truth is about? Being honest one with another? Not letting the right hand know what the left hand is? Not letting our own mouth boast and praise who we are. And it's more than anything about the world and the truth mingling, isn't it? Do you have a Facebook page? Yeah. It's no, I don't mean that to embarrass you. Everybody does. I'm like the man out. Trust me. Trust me, I'm like the man out. You have Christadelphian friends on there? Okay. But do you also have friends that are in the world? She's honest, and that's the case in every condition. Is she being honest? All the hands up. Is she being honest? And that's what the truth is about, being honest. I told my daughters, I started with Facebook a couple of years ago. I said, who is this person? It's like somebody I work with. My daughters don't talk that way. They wouldn't be alive today if they talked that way. Somebody you work with? What do we care about somebody you work with who now connects to another picture of somebody they know who's sitting about having a party? Well, what sort of representation is that for you? Yeah, no, I should delete them. It's a mixing of the truth and the world above all things. The very thing that 1 John and James said we're not supposed to be a part of. And I'm telling you right now, remember you heard it here first. Facebook is a fad. It's going to collapse. It's losing millions of members every month right now because of privacy issues. What you put up, by the way, they own it. It's now being stored by a company just approved less than 10 days ago by the Federal Trade Commission. Everything you are putting up right now is being gathered by a private company called Social Networking Institute out of California. And when a company or a college wants to admit you and hire you, they're going to look up and see what your activity has been in your private life. I'm in the news media. It was a breaking story last week. They just got government approval to do that. If you've got Facebook and you even go delete it, they're going to keep a 7-year file of your information. Really? You're looking for a good job? You're looking for a good opportunity? They're going to check you out, starting number one, with Facebook. It is going to fall, and it's going to fall by its own demise. It's happening right now. Check me on that. It's a fact. Texting, chatting, email. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. A wise man, says Proverbs 15, studieth to answer. You ever send an email or a text? Stick with this young lady. She's honest. 4 minutes or 40 minutes? 4 minutes. She's honest back here. Did you ever send a text? You ever text?
I don't have
a girl. You're dismissed to Facebook. Do you have a text?
I'm not allowed to text.
I love that boy right there. Young lady, you ever text? Not a girl. Anybody else here text? You ever send a text you're regretful of? You send it too quick?
No.
Oh, you should be.
But I never send anything inappropriate.
That a boy. Good boy. Anybody else done it? I have. Back there. That's my wife. And send a text. One of the problems with texting and email in this day and age is that you don't have to study if to answer. It's not required to study, to think about it before. I have someone send me an email inside my own office, and 5 minutes go by, then they come walking down the hall, which they probably should have done in the first place, and go, "Did you get my email?" And I'm not kidding. Happens a lot. And I say, "Yeah, I did." "Well, what do you think?" That's the whole point. I'm still thinking. I don't know what the answer is. I got to move a lot of things around. Hang on. I don't know yet. Go back to your cage. It's one of the problems. The tongue is an evil thing. It's an evil thing. And it's been sped up, and you can't take it back, and you'll regret it. Since we just have a couple of minutes, let me get to a couple of other things here. The cell phones. Let me just cite this real quick. One of the things that cell phones has done. Do you all know Uncle Frank Abel? You ever heard him? Made a point, very, very, very good point. Probably about 3 years ago. And he was talking about the cell phone, which really started by definition as a mobile phone when you're in the car traveling down the road. And he said, you know, we've even noticed it in our own environment. You know, at a time, both my daughters have cell phones. And they got cell phones when they were 16 and began to drive. And they've always been on their mother's account, so we check it, and still to this day, even the married one, whose cell phone we're paying for, which I can't figure out why. Oh, I lost track, didn't I? So she can still check. You know, you used to send a child out on the road, and you made it a concerted matter of prayer. It's the number one source that people get killed when they're teenagers. And you would pray before they went out. And now that's almost a sleight of hand. We just kind of move that to the side because they got a cell phone and I got to find out how they're doing at any moment. What if they get a flat tire by the side of the road? There's so many creeps out there. They're by the side of the road, no phone. There weren't any phones back 20 years ago. You had to rely on faith and the encampment of the angels, mighty ones round about, to protect. We don't have to worry about that anymore. We think. Because we got a cell phone, we're constantly in contact. It removes an element of faith. And one more thing that I'll try and add if I can find it here. Anything bad about the internet? Well, I'm skipping to these last. We'll start here. Anything bad about the internet? Extremely bad pictures on there. Yes, please. Absolutely can. No question. There's no controls on it.
Yeah. Like on the internet, like you can almost check anything you want.
Nothing to stop it. Back here, young man. Yeah, it does. Over here? Yes.
Kids' websites
Now, I want you to think about everything that's been said here. And we'll conclude with this, because we could get into a bunch here if more slides I didn't get a chance to get to. But we've talked about the basic principle here. There is something in this country called the FCC. It's called the Communications, Federal Communications Commission. They control all forms of communication, television, cable station, radio station. There's even a print standard for what is printed in a newspaper and a magazine. I say that again because I'm in the news media. The FCC does not control the World Wide Web. There are no standards. There are no federal regulations whatsoever on it. So the pictures that you're talking about that pop up that are obscene, when that is moved into any other category, whether it's shown in video, on television, on cable networks, in print, in bad magazines, that has got to be governed and controlled by the federal government. Everywhere except the internet. Libel and slander. Libel and slander are, I can say whatever I want about you. If I put it in print or broadcast it in a form that is controlled by the FCC, you can sue me because I just maligned you. And I claim that you were selling drugs and that you murdered two people over here. On the internet, I can get away with it. There's no libel and slander laws. Not that are governed. It has never been such a free-for-all in society like we have it today. Anything goes on the internet. Now, here's your last question. Does anybody in here have a cell phone? Okay, raise your hand. Anybody in here have a cell phone that you can contact the internet with? You can get on the internet with? It's now a mobile device. You can go anywhere and upload the internet on that device. Totally uncontrolled. No filters on it. Nothing to stop it, no laws to govern it. The only thing you can't be is a terrorist. They'll hunt you down. None of you are terrorists. Young man. Oh, you can turn the filters on.
Every time you turn it on, it automatically starts out on safe search off.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh. Boy, that says a lot, doesn't it? Are we about out of time, or can we feel?
Yeah, you're out of time. Yeah. Pretty much done.
Sorry. No, I understand. It's...